Did it make a difference when it came to the move in the 1970s out to Tala?
Yeah.
You were there for that move.
Yeah, I was the first into Tala.
Well, you better tell me about that.
I was the first into Tala, and I was the last into Tala. Now, that sounds a contradiction, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, I went up there with the first group of people, and I just went up for to get them settled in. I was still, my job was still in Bishop Street, you know. But then when eventually, little by little, everybody moved to Tala, and I was there in the factory when the last biscuits were baked, and there was a big cheer when the biscuits finished. And that was the end of baking biscuits in Bishop Street. So I was there on that day, and I was still in charge in Bishop Street, you know. Yeah. But then everybody went to Tala.
Yeah.
But I was the first at the Tala and the last at the Tala.
And the last out of Bishopstown.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first into Tala.
Yeah.
You know, that you saw the biscuits finishing there. My goodness, yeah. Were you, tell me now, did you move lock, stock and barrel when you came out here? Did you move house as well as move job out?
No, we were living here at the time.
No, we were. When I got married and I was looking for a house, I was looking for a house that I could afford. And because my wages weren't big. And that's how I bought this house.
Did you know at the time that, that there would be a factory out here?
No,
yeah.
No.
So it became very convenient, didn't it, you were quite near your workplace?
Yeah. Fortunate.
Because it wasn't for everybody. A lot of people lived over the north side. And
a
lot of them still commuted. And it wasn't as easy to commute then as it is now.
Like people could live out Donnymount.
Yeah.
And they worked on Bishop Street. But then when they had to come out here, they had to go through town and everything for to get out to here.
Yeah.
They're very difficult for them.
And in those, say, 70s, when the factory was being built and you were out here, Tala was only a little village at the time. You know, it hadn't really started to...
Expand, yeah. That's right. Yeah, it wasn't. It was only small. Very, very small at that stage, yeah.
It was like a country village, basically.
Mm. Yeah. What did you do when you when you wanted to go out for the night or, you know, entertainment or, you had to kind of go into the city, really?
Well, I was still here.
Oh, you were? You
course, we were here, you know, so if we wanted to go to town, it was easy to go to town from here because there's a good few buses.
Yeah, yeah.
Different numbers of buses that some go from the top or down this way and some go down that way.
Yeah.
And when we were in for the early days, there was an awful lot of machines breaking down and they wouldn't run and difficulties. And so we hadn't got the engineering staff there. It was all over in Bishop Street. So I closed down and let them all go back to Bishop Street. Now, it wasn't very popular, but it meant that we weren't going to be working there unless they did something with the machines and fixed them up and got them running properly. And they did. So it worked.
So
you know, it was a drastic thing to do. And the people didn't like going back to Bishop Street, but the engineers, they fixed everything anyway. But they were always under pressure too, the engineers, because like the factory in Bishop Street was a huge factory.
Yeah.
You know, if you think of the Adelaide Hospital on one side and New Street on the other side, and that whole block, and the 6 stories high, all the way around, and every one of them was a biscuit making department. The engineers were really under a lot of pressure, And the same then was going to happen in, eventually in New Street, New Row. See, they had a place in New Row, and the place in New Row was the... See, there was no motor cars. They had horse transport, a horse and cart. And the carts used to be built. All the coach builders worked
on site, yeah,
in New Row. And that's how they, when they were expanding, they took over the place in New Street. And then eventually we moved into New Street. But they had a lot of people working there, coach builders. They're mostly coach builders. And I had been working in the place, yeah, like early days.
Yeah.
Cadbury's, Carbury's of town. They were the coach builders. When I left school, that's where I worked at, coach building.
The transition when you saw the new machinery coming in and all the conveyor belts now that could handle the packing and
That was incredible.
Was that a big surprise? Was that something extraordinary that
it was extraordinary at the time for us, and the way they were coming over on it, like they come off the machine, because the biscuits have to cool for the girls to be able to handle them.
Yeah.
And they'd come up through a conveyor and onto a conveyor up here, and it ran, we say, 100 yards down and turned back down then, and back down onto the machine, and by the time we got to the gas, the biscuits had cooled.
I see.
They couldn't handle the biscuits coming straight out of the oven because they'd be red hot. All the girls were, there were some girls there, and the packing skill was unbelievable. Very good. And like, there was a couple of girls there, and a lot of visitors used to go around the place. Mm. They had a staff that used to bring the visitors around. And some of the girls that were there, and if they were see visitors coming, they speed up. And the people, I'm sure, you'd say, Jesus, how did they keep that up, you know? But there was some hard tickets there. Mm. Colette Ring, wasn't she one of them, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
This girl afterwards, she, well, we were all golfers, and she was a great golfer. Herself and Pauline, my wife, Pauline joined. Never had a golf club in her hand in her life. And only joined, we say, in April. The lady captains was on, we say, June, early June. And she comes in with the best score on the lady captains. But that was because she played camogie, hurling. And like, for the swing of hurl or swing of golf clubs is...
Oh, was this organised by Jacobs?
Or? I know, nothing to do with Jacobs, yeah. No. But she just, we all joined that golf club. Brothers-in-law joined the force, and then I joined it.
Some of the people you would have known from Jacobs' dad that you worked with in Talla.
They must have been great characters. They must have been.
Like Liam Cunningham and...
Oh, Liam, yeah. Well, he lived up the road, but... The one person that worked there that had an incredible mind was Paul Dargan.
Mm.
He had an incredible mind. His mother died when he was an infant.
Mm.
And he lived around Oxmantown Road. And his father, I think, went on the beer. And he had a younger brother, Paddy, and himself. And his father worked in Guinness's, I think, and I think he was drinking all day. And then he goes straight to the pub. And he actually reared himself and his brother from about 14 years of age because his father was never there. Him and I got on very well together.
Yeah.
It was very, very funny, this. He had a mind. You wouldn't believe the things he knew. But We used to, 10 o'clock in the morning, we used to both go out and we got our cup of tea in the morning. It was a canteen there. You got your break in the morning, 10 o'clock. So we're going out this morning and I said to him, oh, there you are. Well, I said, you can wish me happy birthday today. Oh, he said, is this your birthday? The 22nd of January, isn't it? I said, yeah, 22nd of January. Well, he said, I'll tell you what. I'll wish you a happy birthday on one condition. Well, I said, now that's the best I ever heard. Making conditions for to wish me a happy birthday. I said, what's the condition? That you wish me a happy birthday as well. We had the same birthday. He was actually 2 years older than me. But we had the same birthday, the 22nd of January. And that was not extraordinary.
Oh, that is. Absolutely. Yeah. And you remain friends always.
Oh, we were friends. Even when he retired. Yeah. Like he would have retired 2 years before me.
Yeah.
But he got promoted as well. But he, like, his parents died, like, when he was young. And I can't remember who it was now. I was talking to a priest, I think. I can't remember. And I was saying to him about a friend, and I said, oh, God Almighty, he loses, throws the head, and he kind of terrible temper. And the first question he asked me, did his mother or father die when he was young? That's what the priest asked me. I said, his mother died when he was only an infant. Oh, well, that usually goes with that.
Oh,
now, the priest asked me that. It was not extraordinary.
It was indeed.
But he used to go to the Catholic Workers' College.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking you. He had a mind. Yeah. And the knowledge that he carried in that brain of his was incredible.
Oh, yes.
Incredible.
But there was sort of a group of men when Daddy, as they got older and started retiring, like Paul Dargan, Liam Cunningham, the man that used to
Cyril.
Cyril Doherty, and the man who used to live up here on Bigger Road. I can't think of his name.
Oh, John McDade.
Yeah. And for years, now, unfortunately, Bar Dad and Cyril, they're not alive anymore, but for years, those men all worked together, started from scratch in Jacobs, educated themselves at night time, went and did courses and whatever, and they all ended up like as shift managers. John McDade ended up in kind of quality control, and all those men ended up doing big jobs in Jacobs that had started kind of again from the ground floor and had educated themselves and worked hard, and you know,
John McDade had an incredible mind. He went to back to college about biscuit making. Well, I'm not joking. You know. He had an incredible amount of knowledge in that brain of his. He only lived now just a couple of rows from here. But he hadn't got a good personality. But they moved him. He was an ordinary worker, and they transferred him to the laboratory, and he worked for the rest of his life.
He did kind of biscuit science, like he was extremely good.
Oh,
wasn't he the man that won the medal or won something?
Yeah, he won some big competition he went in for, and he got first place biscuit making.
Something to do with biscuits, like.
But Paul was originally from up around Oxmantown Road. That's where he lived. His mother died when they were very young, and he had a brother, Paddy. And the father, I think, went on the beer when the mother died, and he used to never see the father. And he reared his brother and himself on his own from he was about 10 years of age. But he had a mind like an encyclopedia.
But these are great stories, aren't they? Yeah. You know, people who start off have virtually a really hard start in life. And
but I remember, I remember one time somebody started a bit of an argument with him one day about something. Well, he flattened them. He told them, and it was like it was to do with religion. And he told them about his church, their church, who was in charge of their church, what they did. Oh, you wouldn't believe that an ordinary fellow would have the knowledge that he had. He had an uncreative mind like an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell him about Liam Cunningham and was it Liam Cunningham and knowing the dough from the feel of the dough?
Yeah. Liam, of course, Liam had walked from 14 and he walked on the mixing department, and it's very, very funny. The arguments that you see, he got promoted and he was working with me, and I was the boss, and he was next. He was a foreman, a section manager. A section manager would be higher than a foreman, and there was a bit of an argument, and he went up to see what was going on, and this fella was saying they used to make dough, and it'd be 40 stone a dough, and it'd be in a wagon, and they put the wagon at the back of the machine, and they pressed the button, and it'd lift the wagon up and turn it over, and the dough, 40 stone a dough, would go into the hopper. And then it'd be rolled out automatically, you know. And I know there was a bit of an argument, and he went over to see what was going on. And the mixer man, he won't take the dough. What do you mean he won't take the dough? He said there's something wrong with it. I was the mixer man, or it was the machine man. And he said to the machine man, well, what do you think is wrong? He said, well, I had a piece in my hand, and he said, it doesn't feel right, there's something wrong with it. And he said, it's very easy to find out. And he gets the wagon, and he takes up a bit handful, and he gets up on the top of the hopper and just makes a space and throws it into the side. And he rolls, starts the machine rolling then, and the dough came out and went under the hopper, and it's the thing clamps on and makes the shape of the biscuits, you know. So he just let that run, and then he stopped the machine and let it run through the oven, and it came out, you wouldn't recognise the biscuits. But when Liam felt it...
Yeah, but I think it was Liam who actually said there's something wrong with that dough.
Yeah, he said, that won't work. You throw it back. And the mixer man said, "Oh, throw it back and make another one. There's nothing wrong with it." I'll show you. And of course, he put it through the machine, and it came out, and you wouldn't recognise the biscuits.
But how did he know that it wasn't right?
Because he was so long mixing, and so long feeling dough, and know how it should feel, and all the rest of it. And he knew by the feel of it, it wouldn't work.
Imagine
incredible
that.
Knowledge, he was right, it wouldn't work.
But I suppose it was like, as well, this is the whole thing, and like, obviously I'm very pro-education whenever, but sometimes I think we lose sight of somebody working in the job. Obviously you have to have the brain power as well, you know, but the promotion of somebody who knows actually has been there and done it, and I think that was a good story to indicate, like,
the promotion was a good one.
It was indeed. Yeah. I mean, it, Andrew, you've been amazing, really have. And so can I say, Andrew Cleary, thank you very much for talking to me. You're an amazing man.
He certainly kept you employed.
You did. Yeah. And Sandra, your daughter, thank you too for talking to me. Yeah. Thank you.